Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you are not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Welcome to today's episode on Wealthy After 40. We are excited to have guest Mira Harden. She is a passionate advocate for women's empowerment and career success. She thrived as a media professional, honing her skills in the fast-paced world of media and communications. Despite this, she felt called to embark on a transformative journey of mentoring and coaching women. With her unwavering commitment to empowering women, she has positively impacted the lives of hundreds of ambitious professionals. Through coaching and mentoring, she equips women with the tools and strategies to navigate salary negotiations, enabling them to secure the raises they truly deserve. Thanks for being here today, Mira.
Yes, and I love hearing it said like that. It's so true. I love it.
Yes. And I am excited to get deeper into this before we jumped on and hit record. I know we were discussing, you know, even now some people are afraid to talk salary and people are, you know, not wanting to be open, and whether it's employees or employers or the whole shebang. And we know women struggle to really get the value that they need to be paid for the skills and the talent they have. So share with us.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we all know there's a huge discrepancy when it comes to your gender and what you're getting paid. Everyone knows that. It's a thing that we're talking about. But what we don't talk about is this taboo feeling, this woman just asking is not something that's normal. It's not something we're taught. It's not something we're empowered to do for the most part. And a lot of women that I coached and mentored throughout my career, and even after I left my 9-to-5, it all came down to, I don't feel valued. And I would say, what are you doing or not doing that you don't feel the value in yourself? And more often than not, it came down to the fact that they are not getting paid for what they're doing. So there's your job description, and then there's what they're doing, which is your job description. And that times 100 for a lot of women. Women tend to volunteer more at the workplace, whether it's extra duties, extra things to make them shine. They also tend to volunteer for the things that are not going to get them noticed or promoted. I mean, like, think about Christmas time. We're volunteering to collect all the cards or collect all the bonuses and put it together, make an extra spreadsheet. It's fun for us, right? It's in our nature. I mean, maybe it's nurture. It's probably nurture based on your culture, to take care of things, to take care of people, to make things run smoothly. And it's no big deal for you. But what I tell my clients is those are big deals. Those are extra things that you're doing. And this is why you feel tapped out. And this is why you don't feel valued. Because whether we like to admit it or not, how a company looks at us and value us is how they pay us. You know, it's by the promotions, of course, but it's also the pay raise that comes along with it and the responsibility. And if you are tasked with keeping a company afloat, giving them revenue, taking care of a whole team, but you're not being paid well and you're struggling on your daily life, how is that fair? And so it comes down to this fairness, and it's a big circle, because then you go back to, well, women aren't being paid enough. And so I would question anyone who's listening, who's in this situation, have you asked to be paid more? Or did you just expect them to see that you're doing more and expect that it's going to come to you? Because I think a lot of us do expect that. And we're afraid to ask. And when we think we should ask, we don't know how to. We don't even know how to begin, what to say. If someone says a no, we're going to die. You know, like, we're going to feel defeated. We're going to be emotional, maybe. Some people get emotional about it because they're so upset. And there's all this fear that comes along with basically just getting paid what you deserve. And so that's why I started focusing on that particular area more in my career coaching. And of course, I coach women on other things too. It's about finding success, whatever that means to you. It's different for every person, but a lot of it's tied into the value of what this company think you're worth, what company you're working for. So that's how I started this whole journey.
I love it. I think it's important for women especially, but anybody to ask for that, especially if, you know, you are seeing task after task on your plate. You know, it's easy to just accept it. And then management is like, oh, well, they're just going to do it.
Yeah. So. But we're so used to it. We're so used to taking the extra burden. And I really do believe it starts from when we're little girls, right? And even now I have a son. I think it starts from when you're young. I have a son, and more often than not, I hear from family members or friends, oh, he's just being a boy. Let him be. And it actually infuriates me a little bit, because if I had a little girl, girls are different, they say, right? But why can't a girl be rambunctious, go crazy, climb? Why does a little girl have to be cute, legs crossed, cute dresses, bows, and all the things? Why can't she just be just as crazy? And I think it comes from that. I mean, I'm from a Caribbean background. I grew up in Brooklyn. I have a lot of friends that are from, my best friends are from Brazil, Dominican Republic, Jamaica. The other one is half German, half Indian. These are my best friends. So I grew up seeing all these cultures and all these different things. And we're all now in the same mindset of what's fair. And we know, you know, we're quote unquote woke about everything that's going on. We're part of the social media movement, right? So we innately know this, but to actually do it, to actually get the confidence, to feel like you're worth it and to go after it, it's not something that it's normal to us, for most people anyway, not everyone, for most people. And I would say for women, I would argue that it's even harder, because I've definitely had men who work for me that have no problem saying, oh, I did this project for you. I did great, right? Well, yeah, you did what you're supposed to do. Well, I think I need more money. I want a promotion. And literally nothing behind it, just simply asking for it. And I've never had a woman come up to me as a leader that anybody under me asked me to give them a raise and tell me why and do the things. They just do the work and want me to recognize it. And that is just what it is, from at least in my experience. And I would argue that most of corporate America is that.
I agree. So how does a female even start? Maybe they're in their head, right? The very beginning. And they're like, I know I need to do this, but how do I even start? Is there something internally and then externally, or how do they go about it?
I mean, you have to acknowledge that if you get a no, you're not going to die, right? You have to acknowledge that crippling fear of asking. And I think women, especially women, we tend to think there's going to be repercussions. And, you know, in some cases, maybe there could be, like if you're in a small mom and pop shop and there's 10 people working here, maybe there's things that they'll take out on you. And that's a very specific situation, of course. But I would argue that you're not the only person that's ever asked them for a raise. And if you feel like you need a raise, you probably did all the work to get to that point, and you've gotten frustrated that you feel like you should have gotten it already, right? Because most people who think they need more money don't just do the bare minimum, because they've already been trying to show that they've done the bare minimum and now they're doing more. And hey, aren't you noticing me? Why aren't you seeing what I'm doing? Oh, she gave me a pat on the back. She gave me an accolade. Yay. So I should get more money on my performance review. And then it's the same as everybody else. Or, you know, we just tend to want people to notice what we're doing and we're disappointed. And so what I tend to do is I tell people, you have to gain the confidence. And the only way you could do that is by empowering yourself with what you've done, have the receipts, right? I call them the receipts, have your, what you've done, all the emails from your clients, your internal people, the other peers in your company, the other managers in your company, anytime they've said something great for you, it builds up your confidence. But also if somebody says, well, who said that? You have the actual evidence right there. Like, it's not a lie. You didn't just make that up. But it makes you feel good about yourself, because you're basically seeing all this positive reinforcement that, hey, Daylene, you're right. Like, you're killing it. Look at all these people that are saying it, right? And then it's all about, the first step is really that. And then it's about preparing. And I tell my clients and any of my friends or people who listen to me on my social media at Mira Hardin, go on my website or anything like that, I'm all about practicing. I'm all about being prepared and practicing. And when I say practicing, not just what you're going to say, but what do you think? You know your manager. What do you think they're going to say back to you? So a lot of people don't even get to that point. They think it's just going to be a fallout no. And I'm telling you, it's never just a no. It's more like, we don't have money in the budget. Oh, we're going through something hard in this company right now. You know, come back another time or maybe another time. Like the brush offs. But if you expect the brush offs and you prepare for it, you know what to say. So you don't get upset. You don't get emotional. You don't get angry. You don't start looking for another job. You know what to say. And what you would say in something like that would be, I totally understand. I know the company is having a moment, whatever it's happening. When can I check back? Like, get the solid time. Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Okay, it's 3 months from now and in the next quarter. Okay, so I'll check back with you in September. Like, define it and say, but until then, what can I do to ensure that I am going to be, you know, a shoo-in to get the raise? Like, ask them. And then what you do is you record all of that, you know it. So now, you know, on top of what you're doing, you want to do that. And a lot of people get the, oh, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is frustrating, but it's also like, okay, keep doing what you're doing. But if they give you certain metrics and certain things on top of that, now you know what you need to do. And when you're going to follow up and say, I'm going to put something in your calendar now for the next, for 3 months from now. Hopefully that's okay. So I can check back in with you. And these are like the little follow-up steps, like we're talking about it. It makes sense, right? But you don't think about it in the moment, but if you're prepared for it, you do. And that's, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. I love that, the, you know, practicing, and even before you practice, getting that evidence that yes, you are good at what you do. Right. And then just role-playing. I mean, right. We're practicing, we're role-playing for these situations. So I know a lot of individuals, and women especially, can tie their worth to their money, right? And so a lot of times this can hinder somebody as well. So any advice, any experiences?
Yeah, I mean, I am from an immigrant family, and it was never pushed that I needed to make a lot of money, but I know the sacrifices of my family being here. And again, there was no pressure on me, but to me, I'm like, let me take every opportunity that I possibly can and keep going, going, going. And I realized there's never going to be a point where I'm going to stop and feel like, hey, I've made enough money. I'm wealthy. I am successful. I am this, because you're always, or at least for me, it was always like, I just upped the ante a little bit more. Oh, I wanted to make $100,000 by the time I was, let's say, 25. I did that. Never even stopped to put myself, you know, compliment myself. I just was like, okay, what next? Oh, I'm not getting paid as much as this person. I need more. What can I do to elevate my career? You know what I mean? So there's always something. And so I would challenge your listeners to really sit and think of what you think is success. What have you been successful at so far? And acknowledge it and thank yourself for working hard for it, because we don't do that enough. Then what's your next step? When do you think there'll ever be a point where you will feel, I am successful and I've made it? I would say Oprah probably doesn't even feel like she's successful and made it, because she's doing so much all the time. And she clearly is successful in every aspect that you could think of, and then some. But I would tell you that she probably feels, yes, I've had success, but I'm not there yet. There's more that needs to be done. And a lot of us do this. So when you think of wealth, especially after 40, right? I think when I hit 40, I had my kid at 39, and I really started to self-analyze. And I recently had this conversation with a client. She could never rest. She did all the things that she thought she would do and then some. And she's like, now what? And I'm like, why can't you just enjoy it for a month and then figure out the why not? And she could not even fathom that. She always had to have something else. She couldn't just take a trip to Hawaii and chill out. And I understood that, because I was like that. And now, you know, success is defined differently to me. I didn't have a kid before. I do now. And I think my success is that I'm there for him. I own my own business. I'm helping clients get more money. And that fulfills a deep need inside of me, that I'm helping someone in the world and not just my kid. At my 9-to-5 job, I was not really helping, but I was doing the metrics, doing the things, breaking the records. And I felt like that was enough. And now in comparison, I feel like that was almost empty, but I had to get there. I had to surpass those records to get to this point. So for your listeners, I would say challenge what success is to you. It's not just money. It's not just having a big home. You know, there's people who have big homes, a lot of money, a wife and kids, and they're not happy. So what is it that really is ultimately going to make you happy? And that's what I would say to your listeners.
I love that. And I love you comparing your before and your now. And I believe a lot of us, right, we're in different phases, different seasons of our life. So while that was fine prior, you had to, like you said, you self-analyzed, you readjusted, and we just do better with the season we have with our, you know, situation.
And it's okay. And it's okay if you decided that, hey, I'm a VP at this company and this is not fulfilling to me. And that could be devastating to a lot of people, especially women. It could be devastating to admit that I've worked so hard for the past 20 years to get here and I don't feel good about my life. And then that's okay to sit with that feeling for a while and then start to figure out, what can I add to it? I need the money for all X, Y, and Z, but what can I add to it? And that's actually how I got here. I started doing social media because I was like, I need to outreach people. And I missed that part of my job when I had left and went to my most recent job. I missed working with the youth and mentoring and coaching, and I missed seeing them succeed. And I thought, hey, I have this great title and I'm making a ton of money, but I'm not able to work with a team or a younger team in the way I used to. So I'm just going to put it online and see, you know, just so I could have that. And that was my answer. And then that kind of changed my life a little bit because I started to learn more, see more opportunity. And you just never know until you open yourself up. So it's okay to admit that there could be more. But if you're totally fine with it and you just want to keep climbing that ladder, that's totally fine too. You know, we're in a world where we just were in a crazy pandemic and tons of people perished. And I don't think there was anyone that wasn't affected by it. And I would say you have one life to live. So think about how you want to live that life. What does the wealth mean to you? What does the success mean to you? Whatever age you're at now, calculate. And I saw this recently, this guy, actually I think it was one of Oprah's like authors, and he has a huge sheet on his wall and each dot is a day. And he has it for what age he thinks he's going to die. And he has all those days, or maybe even it's by week, whatever it is. And so he can visually see how much time he has on this huge piece of paper. And it really, when you look at it, because he's probably in his 50s or 60s, he's like, well, I have this small amount of time to make a difference in what I want to do and do all the things I want to do. Because look at all the life I've already lived. And I don't feel like I've accomplished or fill that goal that I need to fill. And that's insane to me, but really took me aback. Because if I did that at four, I'm 42 now, if I did that and I say, I'm going to live till 80, let's say 82, it's another 40 years. What am I doing with the next 40 years? That's an insane thing to think about. Is it going to be working until I'm 65 and retiring and then living my 401k and whatever savings I have? Probably. But outside of that, outside of the work, the 9 to 5 and the work that we're taught to do in schools and we're supposed to do, what about the rest of your life? What about the other part that's not work? Food for thought.
I love that because I think a lot of people, you know, they get stuck in that this is what we're supposed to do. And then they don't see that bigger picture of, you know, outside of work or beyond work. So We'll all quit work one day. And what are we going to do to, number one, fulfill ourselves and give back? So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think also another message in this is work envelops such a huge part of our lives, right? So we say 9 to 5, but a lot of people, it's more than that. Their thinking process is outside the 9 to 5. There are people like me who would think about things on Sunday night so I can get ahead of it for Monday, so I can be successful on Monday onwards. And that just worked for me. So work is a huge part of your life, but it's not your only life. And I've learned that now. If you have kids or pets and things like that, you put your love into them and you try your best, but you're putting their schedule and their things around your work, because we're taught as Americans, I mean, I don't know where your listeners are, but at least in America, it's the way we're taught is like, you go to school, you do the things and you go get a job. And that's it. Like, that's what, and then you live your life with the job secured. It's never live your life and work should fulfill you and be part of it, right? I mean, that would be the dream for everybody, but we don't even stop to think about what that means to us because we don't have that time to think about it. We go right from high school to college if we're lucky. And then after that, you better get internships. You better get jobs. It's like literally just set out for us.
Thank you for the discussion. This has been amazing. And listeners, if you want to connect with her, she's Mira Harden on Instagram and Mira Harden Inc. on Facebook. Those links will be in the show notes and go connect with her and see what you can do. So thank you so much, Mira.
No problem. I loved being here. I appreciate it.
Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed by your finances and unsure of how to take control? Want to break free from debt and create a retirement future you'll be proud of? You're in the right place. Join the 90-Day Financial Freedom Accelerator today and experience the transformational power of coaching. Imagine a life where you control your money instead of it controlling you. In just 90 days, we'll guide you through the fundamentals of budgeting, saving, and debt reduction using the proven cash flow payday budgeting method. It's simple, effective, and it works. Don't miss this opportunity to take charge of your finances and create a brighter future for yourself. Head over to the website www.elevatefinances.us to learn more and to apply for coaching. Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Having a community of support is important to your financial success. I would love to have you join me in my free Facebook community, All Things Personal Finance. Inside this group, every live training, action challenge, and posts are filled with tips and strategies to help you progress to financial freedom. If you have questions from today's episode or want to learn more, follow me on Instagram at Elevate Finances. If you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about how I can support you with one-on-one coaching. Thanks and have a wonderful day.